Let's open our Bibles. And we're in 2 Corinthians. And we just started that wondrous sixth chapter. And that sixth chapter, brothers and sisters, is emphasizing the ministry that Christ Jesus has given to us. And that ministry, as we've been rejoicing, is that new covenant. And that new covenant is grace. And praise be to God. I was, again, discussing with someone about that sweet grace that just is everything to us. And, you know, we hear about grace meetings, and so thankful that we have brothers and sisters of like faith, and it's so precious that there are other meetings as well, too, that truly do preach the grace of God. But again, you know, the grace of God means so many things. Most importantly, it's just His undeserved gift. But in that grace and in that preaching of grace, we think about forgiveness. We think about how we are pardoned of all of our sins, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Praise the Lord. That wonderful grace that, again, is so freely bestowed to us, the grace that continues to forgive us as we fail and make mistakes, and in a sense, as we even though we're still free from that sin, don't get me wrong, but when we do fail. But how much more grace is. The infinite grace. And I'm talking about where the Word of God tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's the grace, the infinite grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to take the things of our wonderful Lord and actually make them mine. To grow up into Him, to understand not just that I'm free, but the freedom to the throne room that I have. As we were rejoicing on Sunday, that it is mine. That, praise God, what is of Christ is mine. He wants me to have it all. And that is the grace of God that Brother Paul was bestowed and is again preaching. And praise God, this is the ministry that we've been entrusted to. And yes, I was thinking too, we all have a ministry. Did you know that? We do. We know all of God's people have been given this wonderful ministry from the Lord. And we are all ministering something. You are. You're ministering something. I don't want to hear maybe what it is, but by the grace of God, we are ministering something. And as Brother Paul is encouraging us, may it be the grace of God. And a lot of times people think, well, a ministry has to be a pulpit, or a ministry has to be a gathering of people for a study like we're having. And no, that's not. A ministry, as we're going to read about this evening, is a way of life. It really is. Ministry is our testimony. Ministry is not just, again, what's coming out of our mouth. It's the actions. And truly, our actions speak more than anything. And we're going to read about these different evidences, if you want to call it that, of what a ministry is. See, I was speaking with a brother, and I do recall Brother Hill mentioning it one time. He said, and I'm not going to say it's easy, but he said it's easy to minister in the church. Because we're here, we're gathered to hear the Word of God. It's easy to stand up for the Lord here in church. We're amongst Christians. But the ministry really starts, brothers and sisters, when we go home, when we go to work, when we go to school. As the brother was encouraging, that is the front lines. That is, you know, hand-to-hand combat. We're in the trenches and you're right there because you're up against such indifference and actually just downright defiance to the things of God. And that's the real ministry that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has called us into, is that we would be able to continue to be that testimony no matter where we go. It's not just here. Christ Jesus in us and through us, and the love of God being magnified by His grace everywhere. And what a precious promise that we can have, and how God does take care of us. And as we read in that first verse, it is so wonderful how it says that this ministry is together with Him. You'll never have a ministry at all unless you're working together with Christ. You'll never work it alone. It's His work. But isn't that marvelous and magnificent that He has chosen us to work that ministry through? This is the vessel that he has chosen to magnify the things of God. I tell you, to whom much has been given, much is required. You know, again, we think, well, I want to be doing this for God, or I want to be doing that for God. We're going to read what your ministry is tonight. We're going to read about the evidence if you really do have a ministry for the Lord tonight. And it's true. And again, what we long for and what we yearn for, oftentimes about this ministry, isn't really what the Word of God says. I want to yearn and long for the things that the Lord wants evident in my life, that He calls ministry, not what man calls. And I'm going to tell you something. Man doesn't want to have much to do with this ministry, because this is God's ministry we're going to read about tonight. See, man's ministry is, if you're a minister, it's how many people come to your church? Huh? How big a place do you preach in? Are you on the radio, TV? Huh? Those types of things. How much excitement does it draw? Now, God knows I want to get excited about Christ. But let me tell you something, I want it in sincerity. Because in any other way, if it's not in that, it's just not, it's not of the Spirit. It's not being led in the way that God would have us, and again, fellowship with Him. I don't want strange fire. I want it to be a profitable time. I don't want Him bestowing that grace, in a sense, in vain, as Brother Paul warned. It wasn't bestowed upon me in vain. Oh, no. Praise God, I took it and ran. It's there. If you're a child of God, He gave you grace to believe. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to do with it now. You're going to be perfected by flesh, by being carnal, by being legal. Or you're going to allow the grace of God really to do something in your life. And this is what Brother Paul, again, is encouraging us. And then in verse 2, and we touched on this, and I do want to just reiterate, because as we're moving back into the ministry, you'll notice in that 6th chapter, verse 2, it says, it's today. The ministry and this working, it's today. It's not yesterday's trophies. It's not what I did with the Lord last week. It's not the marvelous camp that we had this last year. It's today. It's right now. Now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. And praise God, that's the readying time, is what is the Lord doing in my life today. I had a discussion with a brother and sister over lunch, and it was really sweet. And the brother was a little bit troubled. He was saying, well, you know, what about that person that really sought the Lord and different things, but, you know, then was really waning and didn't seem to be ready and got caught up maybe into this and all that time. And do you think they'll be ready for the coming of the Lord? No, I don't. Those that love His appearing. And the example that the Lord really gave me is that we were sitting there, we were looking across the street, and I said, now, just suppose I was getting married, okay? And, you know, I'm visiting with my friends, and I'm getting married next week. And I happen to look across the street, and there's my wife-to-be walking across the street, holding another guy's hand and giving him a hug and a kiss. And now, in my right mind, would I want to marry that person? Would they be ready? Now, it doesn't mean that I couldn't forgive, but I don't think I'm ready, or that person's probably ready to get married to me right then. What do you think of that? And it's the truth. We need to be ready in love with Christ. And that's what He's looking for, is someone that's loving His appearing, that's looking forward to that day, that wants to stand face to face, looking into the eyes of the one that they truly love and say, Lord, I'm ready. Ready. By Your grace, I'm ready. All right, so let's get on here to verse 3. It says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. No occasion of stumbling, brothers and sisters, in this. Giving no fault to be found in the ministry of grace, set for the defense of the gospel. Mentioned it. I don't want to be set for the offense of the gospel. I don't want this, in a sense, testimony, this word, this ministry that the Lord has put in my life. I don't want you to have reason to say, oh, see that the Lord didn't really work in your life, or see that effectual working of the Lord, it doesn't really work. I want to magnify the grace of God. We sing that song. I want to be willing to be willing and doing of His good pleasure. I want to yield to the Lord that He can magnify His strength in me. See, that's the greatest testimony that we could ever have. I think I've told you this once or twice, and I don't remember if it was my brother or if it was an intern or whoever it was. But my brother's a doctor, and when they were doing a little internship, they had to do a rotation in nutrition. And they would sit with the doctor, and they'd see the patients and all of these things. Well, here they went in, and here was this nutrition doctor, and these people would come in, and he'd tell them about weight loss. He'd tell them about all these different things, and he was very blunt and kind of mean. And he'd say, well, you need to lose weight, and you need to quit smoking, and you need to do all these things. And he used to sit there and say that. And he was a man, I guess, about 5'8", 5'9", weighed almost 300 pounds. And he'd say it smoking a cigarette, and that's the truth. Now, what kind of effectual testimony is that going to have? Same difference, brothers and sisters. That love of God perfected in us. That wants to, again, live a life. And again, it's all empowered by that wonderful Spirit. That's the powerhouse we talked about on Sunday. But I want to live a testimony by the grace of God. I love Him. I want, by His grace, and yearn that, again, Christ in me would be the hope of glory, and that others would see that. And say, you know what, that man is in love with Jesus. He's not being belligerent. He's not trying to be in my face. He's not trying to be ugly about it. He just loves the Lord. It's real. It works effectually. I look at his family. I look at the way he cares for his wife. I look at the way he looks at his children and again, causes them and helps them to grow up. He pays attention to those things that God has given him a steward to watch over. It's a big thing, brothers and sisters. To be responsible. Again, to whom much is given, much is required. Praise God for this. I hope it's hitting deep as the Lord had encouraged me in this. It's wonderful. But see, going forward, it's let's have this effectual testimony as Christians. And that's the ministry. And brothers and sisters, tonight we're going to get into the, as Brother Copley calls them, the 28 planks. There's 28 of them. Or 28 evidences of a magnificent testimony. Of a full overcomer testimony. Of a testimony that truly has a bridal ministry in it. And it's a bridal pattern. And before we start here, I kind of wanted to give you something that the Lord encouraged me on. We're going to read about all of these different traits, these different evidence that's in this life of a true minister of the things of God. And the first ones that we're going to read about in verses 4 through 6, you're going to see the word in. It says in patience, in afflictions, in necessities. And that word in so struck me because in that, it's all about the sufferings as Christ. And I really do believe I see a picture here of that wondrous calf of those four living ones. And that wondrous book of Mark and how we do need to suffer together with Christ. We need to be that beast of burden. That's a wonderful ministry in our life that we truly are going after the things of God. We're not denying the suffering. I'm accepting it. And in that, praise God, as Brother Ron this last year came into harmony with suffering. It was wonderful to see it. You could see the evidence of the love of God being worked in that. The Philadelphia love was not going to be worked any other way, brothers and sisters, but in that cancer, in that body, and it was done. And don't deny it. It was amazing what God did. And there was no other way it was going to come into that life. And praise the Lord, it was authored and finished, that wondrous faith. Praise the Lord. And then we're going to see in the 6th through the 8th verse, or the 7th and 8th verse, I should say, you're going to see the word by. And what so seized my heart there is, by my Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? By my Spirit. We're going to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing this. When you talk about by pureness, by knowledge, by kindness, those types of things. Let me tell you something, you don't have that. That's got to be the fruit of the Spirit working something in our life there. Isn't that wonderful? And praise be to God. Again, that's John. That's the eagle that's seen there of those four living ones. And then going on in verses 9 and 10, we're going to see these words as and yet. And the Lord struck my heart to think that this is, yes, we're as a man there in Luke. But praise be to God, we're also as that lion, the king, in Matthew. And this is what God can do in our life. And this is what the Lord in this wonderful testimony that He has given us. So let's get in here into the fourth verse and we'll start this wonderful fellowship in this. But it says, but in all things, not just some things. If you really want to be a minister, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And that word approving means commending. And you'll notice here, again, if you remember back to chapter 3, it said how Paul says, I'm not commending myself like other people do, not with letters or, letters of appointment or places that I went and study. No, I'm commended of God. Praise God. And I'm going to commend myself now in this fourth chapter, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. It's by the evidence of the Lord in these 28 things working in my life. That's the evidence if I am a minister and ministering of the things of God. And it goes on to say here that he followed this, as he allowed this to work in him, that ministry was perfected. And if you think about it today, we've got heaps of preachers, don't we? How many preachers do you think we'd really have as we start reading these 28 things? How many would be left? See, they don't want to preach and go after this. See, Paul was an incredible minister. He was a minister that God so called and gave this wonderful testimony to. But his ministry, you know what it resulted in, as far as naturally speaking? All in Asia hath forsaken me. It was a lonely place. It isn't the ministry. My wife was telling me that they have this thing on America's preacher and that brother down wherever it is in the giant church. And that's great. Praise be to God. However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But the message of Paul today isn't going to gain that. No, it's not. Because why? Because the Word of God said so. Not because of me. I'm hopeful that it'll reach people. I would be hopeful and glad that if these pews were filled all the time. But most importantly, I just want to be in the will of God that the ones that are here to receive the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus are holding it as wonderful treasure. Praise God. Again, what are we about? Really, what is our life about? And the Lord, again, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And really, that's the thing that's so humbling and so sweet to me about the things of God. Lord, I just come here simply by your grace to give out your word. That's all I can do. That's all he's asked us to do, to pray for that. And he gives the increase. He'll do whatever else is necessary. If the Spirit is to come and anoint you to be jumping up on the pews, praise God. If the Spirit comes and he anoints you to just be quiet and receive and feed, as Brother Hill used to say, well, the hogs are feeding and everybody's quiet. Can I accept that too? See, I want my expectation to be of and from him. That's it. And by the grace of God, again, he'll get it done. All right, let's get into these. In much patience. And I'll go through these somewhat quickly. Patience means endurance. Obviously, the Word of God tells us tribulation works that patience. So I want to be a willing participant of patience. How about you? Now, Brother Paul rejoiced in tribulation, don't get me wrong. But if I can spare a little bit and say, Lord, I'm willing to be patient, I'll take the reprieve. How about you? Huh? Praise God. So let's learn from this. Let's learn and go on. Enduring hardness is a good soldier, I think, of that in the patience. Then it goes on to afflictions. In afflictions, that means pressure, burdens. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to carry that? You know, a lot of people, again, they just like to get away from it. Well, man, that's just a little too much for me, a little too hard. Let the Lord carry those burdens. And carrying the burdens one for another. I'm telling you, the Lord has brought me into some really interesting things in my life. With some of the things that have been going on here. Brother Ron was a real hardship at first. It's hard to watch somebody basically just waste away. So healthy. All these different things. I mean, I've said so long to ones that have been older. It's been precious. The lives, your sweet daddy, and the life that God had given him. And so sweet. Sure, there's a sorrow in that. But when we're talking, you know, young, healthy, vibrant, and things of that nature. I tell you, in the center of God's will, I need to safely hide there. I'm not going to understand that stuff. I'm not going to understand that he's got to bring that type of a trial into my life and into your life. Because he's the God that does all things well. And his ways are past finding out. And his thoughts are not my thoughts. And my wisdom is foolishness to God. And he knows exactly how to bring the very best out of you. That's when I just have to sit there and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. By your grace, I have nowhere else to go. Like those sweet disciples said, Lord, where else can we go? Well, I found that in my life. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I hope you do too. I hope you find out that you can't go anywhere else. There's nowhere else for you but Jesus. There's nowhere else that we need to be except at Jesus' feet. There's nothing else I want to be carrying around that room or serving to anybody else. I just want to get there at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm satisfied with you and you alone. And I'm telling you, it's awful good there. And praise God, you know what? He's been so merciful that I found some others there too. Isn't that wonderful? You finding others there too? Receiving the love and rejoicing in it? And there's room, isn't it? There's room at the cross for you. There's room at His feet for you too. Praise God. No one's going to hog that up. Hallelujah. I think when you start feeling that way, you moved away from there anyways. All right. Necessities. That's to be needy. Praise God to be a needy person. It's wonderful. I know there's some of you saying, oh, but I wish I wasn't so needy. You need to be just as needy as the Lord's making you. And I praise God and I'm hopeful that I always be a needy person. Yes. When I don't feel that I have a need, I really need to examine myself again in my spiritual. I do have to have those needs and I need Him. Praise the Lord. Needing Him as I'm abounding, needing Him as I'm abased, in all things therewith to be content. All right, distresses. That means in a narrowed place. Isn't that precious? How many are you in a narrowed place tonight? Are you being pressed? Are you being pressed out of measure? Nothing more valuable. Praise God. See, aren't you thankful that you know the Word of God? And aren't you thankful that by grace you can believe the Word of God? That He can put you in that narrow place. And you know that there couldn't be anything better. That, Lord, yes, it's uncomfortable that I can speak to you freely, Lord, and I'm not going to beat around the bush. This is uncomfortable. This is tough. This is hard. This is tearing my heart out. But I know by your grace through faith that you're always going to make the way of escape for me. And I'm not just looking for the way of escape. But I'm looking someday to, as we've read about that wondrous throne and that wondrous day of the judgment seat of Christ where He's going to hand out His rewards. And you're going to be greatly rewarded. You really will. Not talking again about self-induced suffering. I'm talking about the very God-willed suffering. Praise the Lord. When you suffer for Christ's sake. Yeah. For His name. Praise the Lord. That's the wondrous time that we have. All right. In stripes, that's the wounds and suffering. Lord willing, we'll get to that. And that's chapter 11, 23 and 24. Again, that's, you know, physical sufferings, the imprisonments. Sometimes we feel very confined. We're going to read about being separated to Christ, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Paul knew that he was a prisoner of the Lord. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to be the prisoner of the Lord. But when you're the prisoner of something, you know what happens? They take you away from things. And He does. And He takes you away from things, doesn't He? He takes you away from familiar, sometimes heritage, all of these things that, in a sense, you grew up and you really feel comfortable with. A lot of times He'll take you away from that. And He will. Because He loves you. Remember, this is a jealous God. I love this. I mean, He's the lover of my soul. And when He came and He gave me and gave you this wondrous message of the high calling to actually marry Him. This is God we're talking about. Isn't that wonderful? Giving you His Son to wed. He's going to court you the way He sees fit. And let me tell you something. He wants your undivided attention. And how is He going to get that? As what we're reading here in this wonderful evidence of what's coming out in my life. He's going to cause me to fellowship in His sufferings, jointly. He says, if you're not willing to suffer with me, you won't reign with me. If you deny the right for me to suffer with me in your life, I'm going to deny you the right to reign. Absolutely. unequivocally, that's a fact. And I will say that's where most of God's precious people, and they are precious people, have settled out. They don't want to suffer. I remember, and I won't say any of the denominations or anything, because I don't want to categorize it like that. But we used to say in the family, oh, that family down the street, so-and-so going to that, man, they just seem so happy, don't seem to ever have to suffer. If you suffer with me, you'll reign. Okay? All right. God's going to get it out. Absolutely, He's going to get it out. All right. So then we go on to tumult. That means instability. It means disturbance. Can you imagine that the Lord wants to give you some instability? Huh? I remember reading that sign. I shared it with you. How are you ever going to be a great sailor if you don't have some experience going across the rugged seas? Huh? Yeah. I remember studying to be a pilot. And I'll tell you, I never really liked it at first at all. But once I could do it, I really liked to go up there. Got to learn crosswinds. Anybody understand what a crosswind is? It's when you're landing the plane and the wind's coming right to left or left to right. And it's a howling. And your plane's coming in there. And what happens is I'm lined up. Uh-oh, I'm over here in the field and I'm going towards the building. Oh, let's go do a go around, the instructor says. And shoots the power on and up you go again. Brother Ty remembers that. Well, you got to learn those crosswinds. And we'd always go up to Cheyenne, Wyoming, to learn them. And I remember I'd get in the plane. He said, oh, Cheyenne today. Gusting 20, gusting 25, right across the runway. And I go, oh, no, not today. But that's how you learn. You got to get out there in it. And that's what the Lord is encouraging us. I was thinking, to learn a peace that passes understanding, He's got to take you out of your comfort zone. He really does. You know, you can be strong in a lot of things in your life by the grace of God, naturally speaking. And I'm talking about things that happen that don't go right and all. You say, oh, I've got a peace about it. But see, the Lord, in His great mercy, He finds your actual weakness because He knows them real well. Exactly. Knows Him perfectly. And it's not because He's mean-spirited or anything like that. It's because He's all-loving. And He wants you to be, again, more needy. And He wants to bring affliction at the same time, teaching you patience, all of these different things. And He's going to expose those little weak parts. He's going to have that there so that you can rely on Him. See, that just brings you closer to Him, doesn't it? Lord, I can't get this done. I can't figure out how to have peace in this. And then what happens so magnificently is you have peace in it. And then it is the peace that absolutely passes understanding because it's nothing of you. There is no way you could have had it. And that's why God's got to take you to that place. So if you're being taken there right now and you're saying, Lord, I don't like this strange land. I don't like this place that I'm in right now. I've never been there before. You know, whatever it may be. It happens a lot of different ways. Sometimes He takes away a relationship. Sometimes He takes away money. Sometimes He, and sometimes He adds things as well too. Don't think it's always a takeaway. He said, whatever state. See, a lot of people think that, well, I'm having a lot of faith because I'm learning to trust God when I don't have something. Oh, let's just take finances or something. I'm trusting God every day to feed me. Well, I hope if you're living in abundance, you're trusting God every day to feed you. Because that's who does. And I'm hoping you're living by faith in abundance that you would lay it up in the storehouse. How's that? Uh-oh. What's He saying? I'm not supposed to work like our government does. What we get, we spend. Well, actually, what we get, we spend above it. And we tax them more to... See, poor people, we can't tax anybody, can we? No, I'm just kidding. But to trust God. Really, to trust Him. And to allow Him to do that work. And allow Him to bring the disturbance in our life. It was so precious that, you know, there was Brother Peter. That was that stormy sea. And the Lord said, come on, come to me. And he was able to walk right through that storm. And obviously, we learn the lesson that when we take our eyes off the Lord, when we start looking at the situation, we are going to sink. But He's got to get us out there by faith to make that step toward Him to bring us into that kind of harmony. I tell you, this is precious stuff, brothers and sisters. And I'm hopeful that you understand this is the greatest ministry that you could ever have in your life. greater than getting up here and to be able to preach about this and sing about this, to live it. To absolutely live it. Do you know that that pleases the Lord more than anything? When you're out there trusting God in storm, there isn't anything greater to Him. Nothing. Filling up a building of 10,000 people, but one person that said, "Lord, I just trust you to heal my servant." "Oh, don't want to bother you. You're a busy man. You just say it was so." Oh, such faith I'd never seen. How about in all that throng and all that crowd, and they were there to see him and all of that and all these things, and who touched me? You touching him like that? See, that's faith. That's what he wants brought out of our life. "I believe you, Lord." Man, when we believe him, there is nothing sweeter to him. You think you rejoice. You don't realize how he rejoices. He's pleased with us. He's pleased with us here tonight. We're gathered. This is forever. This is the most valuable stuff that we could ever, ever be doing. Adding to our faith. Believing that we're coming together for the purpose of growing in that grace and knowledge to be accepted. Praise God. I'm already accepted in the Beloved, but I'm talking about accepted of my Beloved as His bride. Oh, hallelujah. That you are ready to be that. Praise God. All right. Labors. That means weary or troubled, and to be troubled. A great example of that is that sweet sister that was putting ointment on the feet of the Lord. And there came those self-righteous ones in there. Well, that was real expensive stuff. But you know what you should have done? Is you should have taken that money and you should have went out there and given it to the poor. Because that would have been such a greater deed. And I always appreciate the Lord saying, "Oh man, let me tell you something. That poor you're going to have forever. But me, you just have a little time." Oh, let that speak to you, brothers and sisters. Sure, we look on our fellow man. Sure, I don't want anybody starving in a sense. But you know what? I got a guarantee from God. He said His children don't beg bread. They don't. Now, do you believe Him? I believe Him. I don't believe His children need to be doing that. They don't have to do that. We need to just trust the Lord. Absolutely. Praise God. And this is what He can bring to us. And these are these, again, this being troubled by people and hypocrites and ones that think, well, godliness is this way. And godliness is right here. It's explained to you very clearly. And it comes from the love of God. I think of this religious that we have today. Oh, I speak with the tongue of men and angels. See, that's not ministry. That's not it at all. There's some great, incredible speakers. But what are they speaking? And most importantly, what are they living? Come on, backing up that testimony by the grace of God, living that word, allowing that to work. All right, don't want to bog down in that. All right, watchings. That means sleeplessness, actual sleeplessness, going on without it for the love of the ministry. That was Brother Paul. You know, he does give his Beloved sleep, but I'm going to tell you from time to time, you're not going to sleep. If you're in love with the Lord, really, you're not going to sleep. He's going to have you up. He's going to have you up thinking about the body. Yeah, He is. Because the body's suffering over here and He puts a burden on your heart. I would hope that you'd want to pray. And you say, "Lord, oh, I need my sleep." No, Lord, you know what? You're my strength. And if I don't get any sleep tonight, I'm sure you're going to empower me for that next day. I've learned to trust Him like that, brothers and sisters. Sure. Yeah. And there's times that I'm tired. And you know what I'm learning? Lord, if you have me tired today, praise God. I know you're in it. You're in it. All right. Oh, but I just want to feel good in Christ. Because that's being godly, as if I'm fit and feeling good. Oh, come on. Think about sweet Brother Paul. I just love that wondrous testimony in that brother. All right. Fastings, whether they're voluntary or involuntary, it's going without the sustenance. We need to just go on. All right. Now we hit by. All right. We had all this in. Now we're hitting to by. This is, again, that eagle, the Holy Spirit coming in with the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And we see the first one is pureness. Means no contamination, no leaven, the sincere purity. as Brother Paul, he withheld nothing, didn't he? Huh? He didn't withhold it. I'm just going to give it to you. Guns a-blazing, here comes the Word of God. And it didn't matter whether it was the beasts at Ephesus that he was fighting or these Corinthians that were, you know, back and forth and the ones that were trying to stab him in the back and, you know, who are you? We have letters of commendation here. You can imagine all the things they said about him. You know, the Christians were saying he was a Jew. And the ones that were Jews were saying, well, he was a Jew and now he's, you know, what is he? You could see of all that coming out. But praise God, there was pureness that the Holy Spirit was bringing in this brother. It wasn't about anything else but the Lord. It wasn't about himself. He didn't have a motive that was a sidelight. It wasn't about his popularity. It was magnifying the Lord. Praise God. And then in knowledge, it says, that's continuing seeking knowledge of spiritual truth, continuing seeking knowledge of the glory of God. I think about continuing the knowledge again of the love of God, that we would know every single dimension of it. He wants us to know that. By the Spirit, we can know that. That's the power that can come in our life. That when we are waning, when we are getting tired, when we seem a little bit flat, Lord, I haven't felt any height in my spiritualness or whatever, or my relationship with you for quite a while, I can still be still and know that He is God. And I read about my brothers and sisters, and I read about a backside of the desert for 40 years, tending sheep. And just quiet time. But He's still there. And it's magnificent because things are growing. Jesus Christ Himself, all those years on this earth without one miracle. Huh? What examples we have. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. But we can't wait 3 minutes. I got to feel something. You know? I'm learning as I get older, I don't want to feel anything. You know? Huh? All right. The more I don't feel, the better I am. There might be a lot of truth to that. All right. But again, thank God. Again, we have those mountaintop times. I think we had one Sunday. Praise the Lord. Lay it in the storehouse. Know it. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful. And you know, even the low times? Lay it in the storehouse. Say, thank God that you kept me through it. And look where you brought me even higher out of that. Praise God. Just springing up out of it. Springing up out of it. All right. Long suffering. That means bearing, enduring, not reacting when you're provoked. Ooh, that's a big one, huh? I'd like to give them a poke in the nose or they really got me on that one. So the best way to respond is to lash out and really, out of the abundance of my heart, I'm going to show you Lucifer. You know, no, I don't want to do that. Out of the abundance of the heart, we want the love of God, okay? And set a watch before my mouth. And slow to speak. Those are wonderful bits of wisdom, brothers. And I'm telling you, I'm right in the front of the line needing that. Because always, I've got this good one to come back with yet right now. You know, my mother, I always appreciate her. She said, she'd have a disagreement with somebody or something like that, and I'd go back and talk with her afterwards, and she'd say, well, I wish I would have said it, but it just didn't come to my mind. I said, boy, Mom, you are so fortunate, because the bad thing is, in my life, it always comes to my mind and I'm ready to say it right there, honest before the Lord. But see, He continues to change the heart and really to give the word of encouragement. And that soft answer, man, does that turn away wrath? It's an awesome thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, even in spite of our nature, God can come in and work. And you talk about the mighty, wondrous working of the Lord. Know how you've been transformed by His grace. And I know as a people, we're continuing to be transformed into that wonderful glory. All right. Kindness. That's the goodness of the heart. Gentleness. It's wonderful to be gentle. Don't be thinking that you need to be hard. Be gentle. Be kind. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. They're going to know, again, your wonderful testimony in the ministry of the Lord in your life by being compassionate, by being tender-hearted. This is starting to get to be a very mean world. It is a very angry world. People are very short and curt. People are not very social that way anymore. I think our technology is causing us to be, and I do believe in, not to get weird or anything, but I do believe it's beginning more and more all the time to keep us apart from one another, to keep us holed up. And I can do everything in the presence of my home, and I don't have to go out and associate to anybody. And then I get really strange and all of those things. And it's not the godliness that He wants us to have. He wants us to be a light. Amen. Yeah. Well, I'm shy. I'm uncomfortable. Lord had to deal with me on that one. You know? I was raised that, you know, as you show affection by, huh? Yeah. No, you actually walk across the church and hug and greet and give a nice embrace, huh? Yeah. All right. See, but it's true. There's lots of godly wisdom in His kindness. Praise God. All right. The Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? We get to that by the Holy Ghost. Oh my. See, that's how we increase in the Lord. That's how the things of the Lord are taken and given to us. Jesus Christ again telling us twice there in John 16. So wonderful. That's how we abound in hope as we rejoiced on Sunday. See, that's when, you know, you can sing no matter where you're at. You've got a song for all times. There's a song for you and you're rejoicing in that song. And the song that's continually singing is, "It is well. It is well. It's just well, Lord. I know it is because You're for me. You're on the throne. I understand the plan of God. You've given it to me. I'm trusting You for my life, my wife, my kids, my family, my home, my friends, my work, my finances, whatever it is. It is well." What a beautiful thing that we can trust Him by the grace of God like that. And only the Holy Ghost brings that abounding in hope to us. He brings us the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. He brings us bridal faith. I was thinking about that. Isn't that precious? I want to have bridal faith. Praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, receiving that. And I believe by His grace, brothers and sisters, we're a people receiving bridal faith. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, hallelujah, the faith of salvation, the faith of eternal security, the faith of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but praise God, the faith to win Him as my own. What faith is that? Praise the Lord. That is wonderful faith that He's building in our life. And again, all by the Spirit. Not by power, not by all these things, but by my Spirit. Praise God. Again, the things of Christ. Going on, love unfeigned. That's sincere love without hypocrisy. See, that's what that means. A lot of times you read that, and, oh, unfeigned just means undying love. No, it means love without hypocrisy. I'm not choosing and thinking about, I was again visiting with those sisters. I said, that testimony that I can't help but speak the things that I have seen and heard. And by the grace of God, I'm starting to live. The Lord showed me truly His love when I started seeing souls. I see souls by the grace of God. That's all I see. I start to see something else. Boy, I'll tell you what, on your knees immediately, Lord, let me see the soul. That's how we love. That's the love of God. And that love's through everything. Doesn't matter how you treated me. Didn't matter how how the Lord tests us. And He uses one another to test, doesn't He? Praise God. He's been testing so many things in my life. And again, it's just kind of funny. Don't you love to laugh with the Lord? Oh, I love to laugh with the Lord. When I kind of get something, He's always, you know, obviously way ahead of you all the time. But just when I just laugh with Him and think, you know, Lord, You did that. You tested me like that. I would have said it was unfair if I didn't know You were for me. But I'm serious. You talk to Him like that? I pray God we always do, because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He knows us so well. Precious how he gives us that kind of relationship with him. So again, that's the agape love, brothers and sisters. The word of truth, the gospel of grace, this ministry, the glorious gospel. As we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says speaking truth in love, that we would grow up into him in all things. The word of truth. Praise God, buy it. And who's going to bring us all truth? The Holy Spirit. See how the Lord just continues to bring it back? Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer in our lives, brothers and sisters. How magnificent the temple of God. And you're His temple. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to read, well, not tonight, Lord willing, but if the Lord tarry. All right. And then the power of God. And we touched on that Sunday, 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ, the very power of God. All right. And that power again brought through and by the Holy Spirit. So wonderful. And then the armor of righteousness. And I appreciate this one so much. On the right hand and on the left. It's always handy, isn't it? It's just there. Praise God. I am so thankful. We don't do righteously. I should say under grace we do righteously because we've been made righteous. You're righteous. If you're a child of God, you're righteous. And again, you know, you've heard me say it many times. Well, you didn't know what I did last night or whatever. You're righteous. You may not be yielding, but you're righteous. You're holy. You're acceptable to God. You're fully accepted. You're accepted in the Beloved. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. And come. Get it. That veil, it's gone. You come direct. Hallelujah. That's that righteousness. He's made me righteous. Hallelujah. He gave me the very righteousness of Christ, which defeats every sin in my life. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Okay, going on with verse 8. It says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Brothers and sisters, all I'll say to that is, fighting the good fight of faith, jointly suffering for Christ's sake, sufferings that are unmerited. Hard to accept sometimes, aren't they? You didn't deserve them? Oh. But God was for me when He allowed that to happen. Those are the greatest things in our life. They really are. Oh, they passed me over again and I was the one that was the most right to have it. But God divinely didn't want me to. Do you realize that the Lord in your life, if He wants you to have something and in His will, nothing can stop you from it? Do you have that peace? Oh, I pray you do. I want you, by the grace of God, have that peace. And then, on the other hand, I don't care how worthy you were to get it, how papered you made your life, and how hard you worked, all by the grace of God. But they passed you over. That door closed and it didn't happen. By the grace of God, hallelujah, Lord, you didn't want me to have it. And let me tell you something, you stopped it. And all things be thankful. Thankful always. Giving praise to the Lord always for all things. Man, we're getting somewhere in that, aren't we? Praise the Lord where He's brought us. All right. Oh, brothers and sisters, we're out of time. I'd like to keep going, but we're going to close it up. I don't want to labor you too long. And see, half of you are glad, half of you are sad, and half of you are asleep. I don't know. No, I'm just teasing. See, I need to go pray, and that's it. But we've had a sweet time tonight, and it's wonderful to come together, and I love you, and I love you in the Lord, and I'm thankful the Lord loves us, aren't you? Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.